Are you ready?
But I've been low key.
Hanging low key.
I've been on the low key.
Zipping low key.
And I was so low key.
Low key.
Play like to stay low key.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Low Key, Vancouver's only podcast. My name is Kyle Bowen. On today's episode, we'll be having a conversation with Natasha Dion from Chaos Club and 2Track. Who knows what else she does? Let's be real. She's killing it though, man. Real talk. She is. I remember the first time meeting her, I think we talked for 1 minute. And you could tell right away, she has a genuine passion for the city. That's beautiful. That's needed. I fuck with that. That conversation coming up in the middle of this episode. But first, we got to talk about Michael Jordan. Yes. I got a couple clips from some podcasts I've been listening to this week. We'll run that on What You Say. Today's word. Yes. Also about Michael Jordan. It's just that type of episode. Like I said, or been saying, I've been an NBA fan, a Chicago Bulls fan, for 9 days. And it's awesome. I'll also say this. I do know that time is running out. Today may be my last day as an NBA fan, an NBA diehard. So we have to talk about Jordan. I do think he's the greatest athlete of all time, and I've only seen highlights and a documentary. But I do feel as if that holds a lot of weight. We're talking about Michael Jordan. We'll get to all that. But first, some music. We're going to start this episode with some Tino again. Yes, Kuv Life Tino. Why do we keep doing this? Hey, it's just some hometown bias. Let's be real. But we got to do it. Playa, playa. Kuv Life Tino on Loki, Vancouver's only podcast. We're back on Loki, Vancouver's only podcast. That was Kuv Latino. Play a player. Why are you trying to play a player? Okay. I fuck with that song. Yo, it's grown on me. It really has. It's grown on me. Not to say I wasn't fucking with it before, but didn't really consider it one of his top tracks. And, you know, the sun came out. Then I started listening to it. Okay. Okay, Coltar got balanced with the production. The check came in, $5,000 a month. That's how much he pays to get at least one song on this podcast. It's one of those things. And to be honest, he wouldn't even have to pay me. If I needed some city music, there's a chance it would be Coltar Got Bounce music. 49 songs out right now. We had a conversation with Coltar. We'll have that interview sometime down the road. We put it in the bank. Good conversation. I would say, 6 to 8 weeks? It would come out maybe 2 to 4. Who knows? Who knows? Go check out Kuv Latino, wherever you stream music. Okay, let's run the segment. What you say? And it's all about Michael Jordan.
What did you just say?
What did you say?
What the hell did you just say?
Say what?
What did you say?
Okay, this is the part of the show where I go back throughout the week and let you know some snippets that I found interesting in some of the podcasts that I've been listening to. All right, this is just where I get lazy. All right, in the life of a solo podcaster, this is needed. Let someone else do the talking. I steal content. And everything that is stolen, I'll put the info to it in the bio. Had to do it, especially this week, okay? Michael Jordan, everyone's talking about him. I'm glad I'm recording this on the Monday. Get to hear a ton of post. Yes, post-game Michael Jordan documentary podcast. Because that's what's been happening. No sports. And every single media outlet are dedicating time and dollars and personality to cover a documentary. That's remarkable. It sounds insane. Again, no sports on right now. But can I say this? And I think it holds some weight. That shit was epic. That shit was 9.5 out of 10, if not 10 out of 10. Especially for someone who doesn't know anything about Michael Jordan, but loves sports. Perfect. If that aired at a time where sports were still around, I still feel as if it would leave a dent. Maybe not as big as the dent it left during this time, the pandemic time. Let's be real. When we look back, those fortunate enough to look back at this time for other things other than sadness, we'll say to ourselves, yo, that's the time that the Michael Jordan doc came about. That's the time we all wanted to be like Mike. Remember, a new generation of Jordan onlookers and Jordan wannabes were just born. That's remarkable. 22 years after the fact. That's crazy. 22 years after the fact. So let's run some clips.
I mean, there's so many stories. I remember we were in, when they had a franchise in Vancouver, you know, Vancouver Grizzlies. They were going, I think it was a game and it was a back-to-back. And they were playing, and the Bulls were down like maybe 12, 14 points with like 3 minutes to go in the game. And Derek Martin, who was a bench player for Vancouver, said something to Michael off the bench. And then Michael just looked at him and literally scored like the next 17 straight points and went over to Derek, says, "You're barely in the league. Shut the fuck up." Yeah. And the next day, funny about that story is the Grizzlies actually waived and cut Derek the next day because they were like, "Why did you wake the sleeping dog up? Just let him sleep."
What are you doing with yourself? Okay. I'm so happy that the Grizzlies cut you. Yes, Savage, I know. Horrible thing to say. Somebody lost their job and I said I'm happy. I don't even know this dude's name. That's how irrelevant Michael Jordan made him. But man, that could have been a moment for my city. Let's be honest, that could have been a moment. If those Grizzlies, and that version was a bad basketball team. If they did it, if they beat Jordan, who knows? Maybe Vancouver still has a team, right? Am I dreaming? Yes, of course. But that would have been a moment. And moments in sports, they do magical stuff, man. Let's be real. The Grizzlies almost beat Jordan. Unbelievable. Go check out the rest of that interview from Part of My Take with Michael Jordan's trainer. Yes, Michael Jordan's trainer. What's this dude's name? Tim Grover. Same dude who trained Kobe Bryant. Great storytelling. Go check it out. I'll put the link or the episode title in the bio. Great conversation. Okay, next.
How high the odds were for that actually happening? How many ways it could get gone wrong? Because as I found out in the years later, you really need a lot of luck with this stuff. You need the right people to believe in it. It's like a jigsaw puzzle, and you need to somehow pull off 11 of the pieces of it to make it work. And if you're missing one of the pieces, the whole thing could fall apart. So if you're listening at home, it's fucking hard to land the plane. Congrats to Jason and Mike Tolan and all of our friends for pulling this off, because this plane, the runway was very small and it wasn't that long, and they did it. And this will be on a lot, and I'm glad that it reinvigorated the Jordan legacy.
Yeah, I fuck with that. I fuck with that a lot, okay? It's hard to land the plane. Now, in this conversation, Bill Simmons, Russello, The Ringer, the Bill Simmons podcast, the one about the finale of The Last Dance, they're really talking about the props, the documentary team, the production team over there at ESPN and Netflix, and Jordan deserve on this one. It's hard to land the plane. A lot of things got to go right, including the fact that the last episode wasn't even done until what? A couple days ago? Late last week? Think about that. During a pandemic, the editors of the best documentary that you've seen in a while, a docuseries, something that left a dent. Remember, it left a dent. It was finished sometime last week, probably through Zoom and some other tech. That's just 2020. That's 2020. That's remarkable. But back to the saying, hard to land the plane. I fuck with that. And bringing it back to Jordan, how many things happened to this dude? How many things were happening within the team? The GM telling the coach, if you go 82-0 and you win a championship, you're still not coming back. That was said. That was done. Everyone on that team knew that it would be their last year. A lot of drama, yet they held it together and got a sixth championship. Are you serious? Where do you find the will to do that? It's hard to land the plane. So many things have to go right. Again, I've been a basketball fan for 9 days. 9 days. And I know that I'm going to have to, you know, hop off this bandwagon very soon, probably tonight. And I'm going to have to milk it. Real talk. I feel like a champion. I'm a six-time champion. Go Chicago Bulls.
All right. Favorite retro jersey?
The Van Cool.
Oh,
that Van Cool, man. Yeah.
That was Mike Bibby in there, right?
Hey, now hold on now. I have one. I played preseason with him that year with Mike Bibby and them. I played the whole preseason. Yeah, I should have made the team. I was the second or third in scoring during preseason. And I had the number one jacks. I still had that jersey. Boy, that is definitely one of the cleanest jerseys, bro.
Yeah, that's cold.
I ain't never been to Vancouver. They said Vancouver's dope. I ain't never been to Vancouver. I heard they got hoes out there.
Yeah, and weed legal too, but we're going to talk about that next time.
Straight up.
That's hilarious. That's something else. All the Smoke interviewed Ja Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies. Remember, I'm a 9-day basketball fan. I don't even know if I'm saying that name right. Real talk. But it's dope to hear the city Vancouver referenced in, quite honestly, one of the, what, fastest rising podcasts in the world right now. I don't know. It just seems like these two have it down. All the Smoke, the NBA, all that personality, they're getting everyone on the show. Everyone. And it's working. Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson. Man. And Ja Morant, I guess this guy's good. Plays for the Memphis Grizzlies. Loves the retro jerseys that, you know, everyone fucks with it. Everyone. Man, oh man. Basketball. NBA. Will it come back to Vancouver? I believe a local radio show ran a poll question asking its listeners, aka the city, besides the NHL, which of the four major leagues do you follow the closest? Now, let's be real. We all know who gets the number one ranking in this poll question amongst the three other leagues. The NFL, okay? TSN Radio Vancouver talking to a ton of Seattle Seahawks fans, and also a ton of Seattle Seahawks haters. NFL fans are everywhere. But this is where I'm surprised. Where are all the Raptors fans at? Where are all the Grizzlies fans at? Where are those people who want the NBA back in Vancouver? Because according to this poll question, more people want baseball here. Yes, Major League Baseball. You're out. One of those sports, okay? One of those sports. He's going to hit him with a curveball here. That's what the city wants. 86 miles on that curveball. You know, come on. That's what the city wants. That's what the poll question is telling me. They don't want a 4-3. They don't want one of those. Oh, what a dunk. They don't want one of those, okay? They want dingers. Okay? They want a 2-3-2 double play. Bada bing, bada boom. They don't want dunks. The city don't want dunks, okay? Hey, am I talking a lot of shit? Maybe. Also, you may be thinking, what does TSN Radio Vancouver know? I didn't vote on that question. They're not catering to the right people. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? It's TSN Radio Vancouver talking to sports fans. Yes, sports fans in Vancouver. I just don't believe, you know, the Grizzlies are really that wanted in this city. You got to prove me wrong. You have to beat the MLB, okay? You have to beat the MLB in a vote like this. Do we have one more? I think we do. Run this.
Yeah, hey, all the merch fans, man, we got something special in the works, man. All right, stay tuned. Stay safe. One love.
I'll be the first to say, I don't listen to much of the game, and I also don't listen to much of Mercules. Yes, Mercules. Surrey's own. But now I see this video where the game is hopping on a song with Mercules, and it feels nice. Shout out to Mercules doing a ton of work for the city in some way, some fashion. Again, I don't listen to much of his music, and I probably should. This is Vancouver's only podcast, right? Who knows? Who knows? Maybe down the road, there's a conversation to be had. Loki with Mercules, the game hopping on a song with Mercules. Are you serious? That's cool. How about that? How about that song that he had with Shaquille O'Neal? That's cool. If more people in this city knew about that, maybe, the NBA would beat the MLB in a vote this important. Again, you can't tell me y'all want the Grizzlies back and y'all can't even beat the Vancouver Diamondbacks? Man. Let's get to some music. We'll play some Reveille, maybe some Sharuk. Who knows what else we'll get? Maybe some McAvoy. Who knows? Maybe some Garrison Cade. Listen to his last track. That was nice. But we got to do it. This is Low Key, Vancouver's only podcast. And afterwards, we'll have that conversation with Natasha Dion from Chaos Club and 2-Track. Great conversation. Catch you on the other side. You're listening to Low Key, Vancouver's only podcast.
Listen when I talk, I'm the new bitch on the block. Better know what I'm on, yeah. Tick tock, time will never stop. I'ma hit you after shock. Better know what I'm on, yeah. Slick talk, listen when I talk, I'm the new bitch on the block. Better know what I'm on, yeah. Getting too tired, stepping to my spot. Messing with the plot, I put you in your spot. If I ever pause, it's only for applause, yeah. If you bet on me, you hit the jackpot, yeah. Walking with a tie. Guess it'd be allowed, yeah. I can never stop, you never feel the drop, yeah. Got the shit allowed, never drop the ball, yeah. Tryna get my bag, I'm out here tryna ball, yeah. Tick-tock, time will never stop. I'ma hit you after shock, better know what I'm on, yeah. Slick talk, listen when I talk. I'm the new bitch on the block, better know what I'm on, yeah. Yeah, you gotta be precise. Getting too emotional, I'ma put you back behind. Going through the motion, nothing even in my mind. Down to pay the price, yeah, this shit's my latest vice, yeah. Read between the lines, no, I'm never telling lies. Shit's a fucking blessing and a lesson in disguise. Getting too emotional, I'ma put you back behind. Why? Just put you back behind, yeah. Tick-tock, time will never stop. I'ma hit you after shock, better know what I'm on, yeah. Slick talk, listen when I talk. I'm the new bitch on the block, better know what I'm on, yeah. Tick tock, time will never stop. I'ma hit you after shock, better know what I'm on, yeah. Slick talk, listen when I talk. I'm the new bitch on the block, better know what I'm on, yeah.
I got the devil in the kazi. Lil' homie caught a body. I get the racks when I tour. DW the fuck about me. DW I got a shotty. DW I got my rocks on. I spend the racks when I'm bored. I get the racks when I tour. I spend the racks when I'm bored.
Why you even calling when it's pointless? Girl, don't get me started about my choices. Couple times I thought about you in the worst ways. Had to set it straight before I turn page. Just wait and see what else we got in store. You ain't working for yourself, then who you do it for? If she pull up close, gotta pull the cord. Bitch, I'm on my own, totally close my doors. And there ain't nobody stopping us. I'ma keep on going till the clock run out. Only picking up the large amounts. You thought I need you, but I'm fine without.
You thought I need you, but I'm fine without. You thought I need you, but I'm fine without. Yeah, only picking up the large amounts.
I got the blicky and the sake. I got the devil in the kazi. Lil' homie caught a body. I get the racks when I tour. DW the fuck about me. DW I got a shotty. DW I got my rocks on. I spend the racks when I'm bored.
I just got a snap from a little cousin and he carrying the strap. I said what the fuck is that? Said he gotta watch his back. He don't know what's coming, so I gotta get these racks just to get him out of trap. No time for discussion, I ain't with the bluffing. Got a 13 gunner, you should see the way I bust it. Smoking marijuana.
about me. Where I'm from, they would usually call me Rowdy. Yeah, I just want a bag, then I'm out to get your root. On a record, get a bag, it's a body, y'all.
I got the blicky and the sake. I got the devil and the kazi. Lil homie caught a body. I get DRX when I tour. DW the fuck about me. DW I got a shotty. DW I got my rocks on. I spend DRX when I'm bored.
Okay, okay, you're back on Loki, and we have a special guest here for a conversation, Natasha from Chaos Club. We're not even going to go into her title because she has so many, it'll just get confusing. How's it going? How's ISO mode? What's up?
ISO mode is great, getting used to it. Lifestyle is definitely different than what I'm used to, but when you work remotely from your laptop most of the time, you can kind of do your work anywhere, so I'm pretty thankful for that.
100%. I'm definitely not used to this. You have access to your own studio while at 2Track. Same thing with me at the Don't Do spots. Man, it's so crazy, right? When you're stuck at home, it just makes you realize how much time you actually spend at a fucking studio. It's crazy.
Yo, it's crazy. I spend most of my days at the studio. Sometimes, like, when I come back home, I honestly forget that I, like, have a house. It's actually ridiculous.
Exactly.
But it's nice. We're not really taking any clients at the studio right now, so I'm still able to kind of hop in there because it's just like a second home. So cool. Really thankful to still be able to do work out there.
Yeah, your guys' spot's a lot different than ours, where we kind of share with a whole bunch of other businesses. So we're fucking locked down. We're in bedrooms making work
happen.
Oh,
no way.
100%. Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, we'll not get into it too much. It is what it is. At the end of the day, it's all about being safe. And we just talked about the power of the laptops. No excuses, you know? No fucking excuses.
Yep. Power of the internet. You can do what you got to do.
100%.
So the difference on our side to have a recording studio and a photo studio. So definitely no photo shoots happening.
100%. 100%. Okay, so we got Natasha Chaos Club on Loki, Vancouver's only podcast. I will say this. I was going to shoot a message to Boslin or Jamon. I had the message in the queue, and I wanted to get some info on you. But then I was like, yo, fuck it. To be honest, I just want to have a genuine conversation with Natasha and not know much, because we did have a short conversation the first time I met you at Boslin's release party, and you said something you said a couple things that really stuck out, okay? The first thing was that you're from Manitoba, and the second part was how you guys were really doing this for the city of Vancouver. So we'll start off with that. Like, what's your relationship like with the city of Vancouver?
Honestly, I feel like I'm a Vancouver girl now, definitely from Manitoba, so that's my roots. Like, I grew up on a farm and then a military base, and then completely transitioned to go to Emily Carr in Vancouver here. And you kind of learn really quickly that you have to get into certain social groups or kind of find your people here, because it's very difficult to find kind of the right crowd or the right kind of energy that you want to surround yourself with. So I feel like I've been very lucky. I've been living here for like 4 years now, to be able to find those people and kind of find the niches of what I'm really interested in. So that's kind of how my relationship with Vancouver is. But I kind of realized there's a lot of OGs, like, you know,
yeah.
Shout out to Man and like Mr. Martini and all those guys that have really like put stuff on for the city. But there's not really many people that are in our age group that are really pushing the limits of anything. And I'm always kind of one to push limits. So I just really want to be able to put Vancouver on. So like, okay. That's how my relationship is.
Okay. I fuck with that, man. I didn't know you were going to take it there. You are someone that does seem like you have that with you. I mean, you do want to push the limits. I mean, you've done already so many interesting things with Chaos Club, and one of those things was just like opening up your studio for the city to have a place where you could collab. I mean, we're talking about the music industry, and a whole bunch of ego goes into that, a whole bunch of pride, where I'm not really used to seeing that, where you're just like open to helping anyone out. They don't even have to be a part of the Chaos Club. It's more of a, yo, Vancouver, let's get this going and let's push the limits.
Yeah, definitely. Like, Toronto has a big scene. I feel like LA has a big scene. And there's, like, a community of people that just supported one another, but there necessarily wasn't that here. I think there's definitely a lot of egos in the game. And everybody jokes and calls me Big Mama because, like, I just literally want to help everybody out. That's all I want to do.
That's facts. I mean, I remember talking to J-Mon. I don't know what club I was at, but I was talking to J-Mon, and he mentioned how you were the Big Mama of the group. I guess that will lead to my other question. It's about Manitoba and you growing up in a military farm or background. I forgot the terminology, but do you think any of that influenced you to be in the role that you are in right now as far as being a leader?
Yeah, absolutely. I had to grow up like very fast. I kind of helped my mom raise my siblings and had a different childhood than most people. Like, yeah, I grew up on a farm. Like, my high school had 4 people in it. It was a full-fledged school on a military base. Like, I had to be very, very independent. And I think it kind of shaped how I grew up and had to take action from, like, a very young age.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see how, you know, you're still a very young person right now and you're already taking, you know, a top echelon leadership role in something that's fucking special in the city of Vancouver. There's not a lot of things like the Chaos Club, and it's kind of seemed like it's happened overnight. Talk about the beginning, though. I mean, everything always seems like it's overnight from someone like me who just seen it on the phone or just having brief conversations. When did this whole thing really start with the Chaos Club?
Chaos Club started kind of with J-Mon and Buck. So Buck was looking to kind of build a roster of artists and help support people in the city that have really good potential and good artistry. And myself, I actually met Bozzy at the studio. He pulled up the 2-track, so I'm a manager at 2-track as well. And we just became kind of like best friends instantly. And I've known Buck for a really long time. We worked at Front Runners together and then worked on some side projects throughout the past couple of years. So I knew we would kind of cross paths again, but it kind of came more serious when Buck started showing some interest in Boslin's career. And I was pretty much best friends with Bozzy at that point already. So it kind of joined in that it was J-Mon and Boslin and myself. And then we kind of just were like, oh yeah, we might just kind of link up and see what's up and see what we can do to support one another. And I think our first quote unquote official meeting for Chaos Club was August 6th, I do believe. And we had Aiden Lawson, who's J-Mon's creative director, myself, kind of, I wasn't really the full title of Boslin's creative director yet. And then Isaac, Bozzy's manager, and Buck. And we kind of just figured out what our timelines were and how we could support one another. And it kind of grew to a big team and to a record label and what it is now.
Yeah, and it seems very authentic, organic, and, you know, family oriented. I mean, just being at that Boslin release party a couple months ago, right before 2020 began. And yeah, it was a different time. You know, I've been around the city 4 or 5 years, maybe covering it for the last 2. I've been observing a lot, just watching a lot of things happen. And that particular time was just a little different. It just felt happy, which
felt genuine, right?
It felt genuine. And it's kind of, I think it started right before that, where the shift of our perception of Vancouver kind of changed. I mean, a couple years ago, I'm not going to front though, a lot of people hated on Vancouver. The people in this city fucking hated Vancouver, just talking shit about how you can never do anything here. And it's kind of changed. And it really changed towards the end of 2019. And I do think that Boslin and everything that you guys were doing had a lot to do with that, because the perception only changes when, you know, the people in the city kind of see something working. Going back to Boslin, when did you feel like a shift was going to happen, or there was something there in Boslin as an artist?
I think it was the first time I met him, it was a studio session. He was just spitting, and he's a valley boy. It's so funny, he's from Chilliwack and I'm from the prairies, so ooh, we kind of have that like small town feel to us, I think, at the end of the day. So it kind of clicked. Like you said, there's a lot of egos in the city. A lot of people said that they don't really feel like they can work here or like, yeah, you know, do anything. But from our perspective, it's like, it's a whole new world, right? There's so much, it's like a land of opportunity, and there's really like nobody that's really become big here other than like BB No Money, and if you really want to like pull on Nickelback and stuff like that.
Hey,
but
shout out.
Yeah, shout out. But definitely, like, it's like you have to make your mark in something, and there's opportunity right in front of us. I just don't think a lot of people have like the motivation or the energy to do that. But I really saw like a lot of motivation in him and myself, and we kind of like just pushed each other to like make dope shit. So, no, like, why not?
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, Boslin, yeah, he's a bright light. I mean, when I first found out about him, I think maybe late 2018, and just following him, I realized that he wasn't shy. You know, he was not afraid to show face, be a personality, be someone that would represent the city. I mean, you have some people in the city who talk shit about how nothing will work and how Vancouver won't support or BC won't support, and you put out like one song a year. It's just like, yo, you wouldn't even do anything for the fans to cheer about. And now when you look at Boslin's analytics on Spotify, well, what's available for the public, I mean, mm-hmm. a month ago, I think I saw like Surrey and Vancouver be in his top five as far as listeners go. And yeah, like a couple years ago, people were saying that was impossible.
It's definitely, yeah, we have like Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, Surrey, Burnaby, like a lot of it's West Coast people that are supporting one another. I think people were kind of looking for that figure or that kind of person to be able to look up to from Vancouver that kind of makes really dope music and reps that city. And so a lot of the music I think he's going to be making in the next couple of months is going to be kind of pushing both like sonically and lyrically what we can, like what you haven't heard from Vancouver sound either. And cool. So I think that's also kind of been something that's missing is a new kind of a new wave, I guess.
That's cool. We're all curious to hear what Boslin does, especially after the success of his last project, Black Lotus. Go check that out on Spotify. You're listening to Loki, Vancouver's coolest podcast. We got Natasha, Chaos Club. Let's stick to Natasha. Let fuck everyone else. We just want to talk about Natasha, okay? Let's go back to the childhood, go back to Manitoba. And anytime I meet, you know, creative directors or just anyone in general following their dream, I always ask them about their childhood because I just want to know, like, where did this come from? Like, when did you have that creative bug? Is there like a particular moment where when you realized when you were a child that, damn, I like to make things, draw art, fashion, blah, blah, blah. Was there anything particular?
No, not at all. I was a total like regular Manitoban kid until I think I moved here. So growing up, I played hockey. I played baseball, track and field. Like I said, like my first high school had four people in it. So I didn't really have access to culture. And I think that really influenced my life because like when you grow up in a time, like I didn't really have a cell phone until I was in grade 10. So I didn't really know about the outside world. You know, I'd never really been to parties and seen what fashion was or heard really like good hip hop music until I moved here for university. And I didn't even think of myself, this is a weird complex, but I didn't even consider myself really a creative person. I actually just applied to Emily Carr because I worked at a movie theater in high school and my boss went to Vancouver and said, you're really a creative person. And I think at the end of the day, like you come up with really creative ideas and you're a leader and you should check out the school that I went to. It was Emily Carr. And then I ended up just applying to Emily Carr because I didn't really like my life back home and I felt as though I was really like stagnant there. And then I got accepted into the session and I just moved. And then that's when I learned how to do Photoshop and how to do videos and styling and all these things. I kind of just dug myself into different pockets of like the creative industry. Never really fully like excelling at one of them. Like some people really like learn, you know, how to draw or do sculpture and painting or any of these things and really stick to it. And I can never stick to it. So I think that's kind of like definitely what has made me a creative director now is just having the ability to try out so many different things as soon as I got here because I'd never really understood what that was before. I just like never even realized that you could do video as a job or do photography as a job or like run a studio. That was just so foreign to me. And I think like that in my eyes, I'd never like seen that that was an option. And ever since like, and people in Vancouver definitely like know about all that. When they're in high school, you know, they see fashion, they see concerts and all these things. Like I'd never had that opportunity, so it's like fuck it, let's just do it now, let's go crazy.
Yo, that's actually fucking so fascinating. I had no idea. I thought that you just had this from an early age and were able to bring it to Vancouver, whereas Vancouver kind of gave you that. That's so interesting. I mean, what were your dreams then? Like before, you know, finding something you were passionate about, did you have anything else in mind? Like nothing that was even just a fantasy, or was this the first time that you kind of found your calling?
Definitely the first time I found my calling. I couldn't figure out, everyone was applying to universities and, you know, they were either going to go do scholarships for volleyball or they were going to go to their hometown university and do like bio or, and that I just kind of was going to follow the pattern and stick around at home and just, you know, put my head down, get a good job. You know,
yeah.
I was serving, so do what you got to do. And then I kind of realized that was just like, I'm not satisfied. Like, why am I not satisfied? And the funny thing is I actually went to a weekend concert in 2015, and it was my first like really big moment. And I saw a backside of the music industry, and I ended up getting backstage through my friend Bronx. He's with the XO team, and it was just, he was going to do a photo shoot with my friend, and then he gave us backstage passes, and I ended up meeting Travis Scott.
Cool.
And Halsey, and had a good conversation with Halsey, and she just basically said, you know, you can do whatever you want, you just gotta follow your dreams and do what you gotta do. And that was like pretty much the exact moment that I realized there's so much more to the world and like the arts and entertainment industry that kind of like maybe is something for me.
Damn, what a fucking story. And it now kind of makes more sense. Like I've, you know, I'm just connecting the dots for you. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I just feel like since you came here and found a calling and the city was able to give you something to be passionate about or just something to make your eyes open up, like maybe that's why you do have a deep-rooted passion for helping Vancouver out, giving back to the city.
You got to give back to the city. It's an open book here. Like, nothing's really been written in stone. So it's like, yeah, you can go to Toronto and kind of be able to have great mentors and do all of those things, but I could just do that for other people here.
Now, you don't sound like you're intimidated at all. Like, I've been around you. You just have this calmness about you and this confidence, which combined is fucking dangerous. But going into it, were you at all, like, intimidated about entering something that was so heavily dominated by fucking males?
Not really. To be honest with you, like, I know every girl says this, but kind of get along with guys better. I only have one girl best friend, her name's Reed, and I don't really get along. Like, I don't know, there's just not really any girls in my industry, I guess, now, so it's kind of tough looking back at it. Like, I've had, you know, a lot of girlfriends in the past, but it's such a male-dominated industry, it kind of gets tough sometimes just because, you know, how guys talk. But I've kind of just adapted to being one of the boys at this point, you know?
100%. You got to adapt, and I think with people like you doing what you're doing and, you know, you will have more success down the road. I'm going to put that out there. You know, you'll be somewhat of a, you know.
Thank you.
You'll open some doors for more people. I mean, you're talking about, yes, being a female, but also someone who just kind of fell into loving the industry 4 years ago. I mean, a lot of people go throughout life struggling finding something that they're passionate about, and they think that if they don't have it at a certain point, they'll never find it. Where, you know, you're an example that you just got to give something a shot, and you never know. You never know what you'll find a passion for, something to work for. It's awesome.
And be passionate about everything at the end of the day. Like, why would you live your life kind of not passionate about anything? It's just like do everything you do with the best of your heart. And yeah, definitely being a girl in the industry, there wasn't necessarily a lot of people doing it. So, you know, other than like Kira and Cass, I would say.
It's great to see a couple
more shout outs. It's great to see a lot of girls in the industry kind of come up now.
Yo, shout out Kira and Cass. Like, real talk. Yo, Cass, honestly, you one of the best people in the fucking world. That's just a fact, yo. That's just a fact. Okay, last question. This is actually kind of a big question, and it's frustrating for me to look at something like this, and I'm not even an artist, and I'll never be a fucking musician, but I saw this from someone on Hilly Dilly, and I think this is like a music publication, and they tweeted this out.
Yeah.
Okay, artist, here's what we need from y'all. TikToks, trailers, tweets, IG posts, go on IG Live daily, text everyone on your community app, make playlists on Spotify, start a Discord, start a Switch, reply in the comments. And the last thing is make a hit. When you're working with guys like Damon and Boslin and Max and Kellen, like, how hard is it for you to maybe let them know this or just get that message through to them that they have to still focus on, you know, the art, just make the music?
I think at the end of the day, all the boys have a really good understanding of what it takes to be able to kind of promote your content on different platforms, and they have that kind of that intuition. But the whole team has like their own managers as well as kind of we have checklists, and our Google Drive folders are crazy, and we have like meetings weekly where we kind of check in on each other and make sure that everything's getting done. Because if you kind of forget to go on a couple different platforms, or if you don't take a chance on those opportunities, it could be a really big opportunity that's missed. I think something like we're definitely lacking right now is TikTok. Triller's okay, but you know, you gotta be able to put your content on so many different platforms like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, even sharing it on blog posts, articles. Like, the list goes on and on and on for kind of our marketing rollouts. And so, really thankful for Isaac to be able to keep Bozzy on task and make sure that all those things are completed and put out. And I think that's kind of what makes the difference in between someone that really wants to have their music, you know, be seen and heard by a bunch of other people other than just their fan base and their friend groups. That's what pushes you to a new audience. So if you want it, if an artist really wants it, they're going to understand that they got to do it. So I'm really thankful that Bobby and Jamon really understand that.
Okay, that's enough. Enough with that horrid, yes, horrid quality That connection was just faulty towards the end. Didn't want to do that to your ears. And besides that, we were what? We were what, 90 seconds away from the end of that conversation. One that I really appreciated. Real talk. Natasha, thanks for hopping on. Chaos Club, two-track, doing amazing things for the city. I mean, I'm looking for words to find, and the one that really, really comes out and stands out and is the one I'm going to use right now is Proud. Is Proud. Real talk. Real talk. Shout out to Chaos Club, two-track, and Natasha and the rest of the team over there. We're going to run some more music. I think we're going to play some Nala. Yo, Nala's one of the best Twitter follows in the city. That's just a fact. And afterwards, we'll finish off the episode with what's the word? What's the word today? I'm going to figure that out after some music, okay? I got to Google something right now. You're listening to Loki, Vancouver's only podcast.
If you listen, baby, I could put some game on ya. Yeah. Too late, I'm gone. Now babe, I'm far. Deck up, I'm pawn. My phone, he blind. On hit, I get it. This sauce, spaghetti. Cross me, I'm little. Deck walk, I hit it. Yeah, I'm just digging to that chase. Walk into the room like I'm the man with the fit. And these niggas salty cause they gotta stick to the hand. Get into the chair, I'm tryna get to the band.
Yeah, I'll be stacking up that cash on the low. She throw a tantrum, yeah. Ready for it, take patience. Yeah, I got the right remedy, like I got patience. I got that spicy before and then it's blazing. Dog, about to call me a rip, look like a spaceship, dog. Yeah, I'm lying to the pack. Pull up with it, they keep out that stick in the stack. Get my pockets filled, I'm about to get to the back. Whole team getting to that rich from that rack.
Is it Alex Karras in Webster?
I don't believe it.
Today's word is leadership. Yes, leadership. The action of leading a group of people or an organization. Now, everyone has the ability to be a leader. That's just a fact. It's not easy, though. It isn't easy at all, especially leading your people or organization to your goal, not towards your goal, to your goal, actually getting there, getting the job done. In most cases, you need a lot of things going your way. We heard it earlier, okay? It's hard to land the plane. When you're the captain of something that big, something that epic, something that impossible, it's hard to land it. Yet Michael Jordan did. Now, was he a bully? Was he somewhat abusive? I guess so. You could say that. If you're a little sensitive, I don't know. You're winning. It is what it is. Know your role. Yes, know your role. Now, I don't care if I spoil it, because if you haven't watched it by now, it's what, Wednesday? That's on you. Yes, that's on you. That's not my fault, okay? Episode 10, we see it. We see the poetic side of Michael Jordan. We see the spiritual side of Michael Jordan, the influence of Phil Jackson. And they needed to do that. They really did. You know, this is a Jordan production. Yes, is it Netflix? Is it ESPN? But let's be real. The Jordan brand definitely had the biggest paintbrush on this docuseries. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. They deserved it. They deserve to tell their own story their way. And for them to add a little bit of sugar to the mix, making Jordan look a little bit more sweet instead of that persona that he just embodied the whole time. You know, he was dark, cold. He was a killer. But then we get to see him, you know, after they win, write a poem for the teammates, which is leadership. It showed the whole team right there and then that, yo, Jordan loved y'all. He appreciated the effort. He appreciated everyone doing their job to get the job done. He just couldn't turn off Jordan mode until the mission was finished. What a time, yo. What a time. I'm going to miss the Jordan doc. 100%. It was that damn good. As a real sports fan, not a casual one, it struck a chord. It made me want a time machine. I am jealous of those people that got to live through that. And I'll say it again, through a highlight package in a docuseries, he's the best athlete of all time. That's astonishing how I actually mean that. I mean that. I've watched a ton of athletes and I've watched a ton of highlights. And I don't think I'll ever see someone like Michael Jordan. And I never got to see him play. I just saw highlights in a docuseries. It sounds fucked up, but it's the truth. And on that note, let's end it. Yes, Loki, Vancouver's only podcast, the fourth episode on the Posted Up Network, is done. Thanks to everyone that's been on. Loki, Arshan, KTO, Hines from Hindsight, Natasha Dion, Chaos Club, and also Max from the Chaos Club too. Yo, you want to talk about leadership? All those people have it. All those people have it. Shout out to the people of this city. It's beautiful, man. I'm feeling good. Make sure to check out all the musicians. Yes, all the musicians that we featured on today's episode. All that info will be below. We'll also link you or guide you to all those podcasts that we did steal from. My name, Kyle Bowen, KYLEBHAWAN. Subscribe to the Posted Up Network. Follow us wherever you do your following. We are arriving to TikTok soon. And I'll say it again, okay? You know when Michael Jordan went to the NBA? Kyle Bowen going to TikTok? The same shit. Let's be real. What did they say? Tomato, tomato? Potato, potato? It's the same shit. Have a good morning, a good afternoon, a good night. I don't know when you're listening to this, but we appreciate it. We also need to play a song, right? We'll play one. Peace.
Yeah. I got a hook, but I'm no good and she still love me bad. Swear I'm the worst, but I'm the best thing that she ever had. I'm in my A, I'm playing ghost, she wonder where I'm at. Some shit get way too real, I don't know how to act. Just know my cup is filled, I popped a couple pills. I can't be in my feelings, I don't know what to feel. This shit was 50-50, you kept it 100 still. I gave you plenty warnings, girl I'm no good but you ain't listen. I got you all in your feelings, I feel the tension. We try and clean up the slate and now we be dishing. Girl I ain't loving you right and I feel the distance. I gave you all of these answers but you dismiss it. Yeah. I can't even lie to the mission. But I got things adding up and I see the vision. I don't got time for these hoes and all of these bitches. Yeah, I can't do without all of that, it's a sickness. Yeah, I can't even get myself involved. Going back in this shit, it don't help at all. I'm fearing the moment I get that call. So don't hit me up because you know I fall through. Yeah. I'm really on some new shit. I've been a fucking nuisance. I'm sticking to this music. Yeah. Girl, I can't play you stupid.
stupid. Swear all along you knew it. I'm tryna blow, I blew it. My baby been going crazy. I ain't been myself lately. I pray to God it pays me. I told you several times I'm not a regular guy. I got too much on my mind, yeah. I got a hook but I'm no good and she still love me back. Swear I'm the worst but I'm the best thing that she ever had. And shorty listen, had to cut all her ties, she made decisions. Shit was already broken, she tried to fix it. And she stopped going back, that was the difference. I'm a witness, yeah.